pretending to be falling down. Once we got another, my thoughts keep me spinning around.
That's the music again, Pablo, for episode number 70. Wow. Of the Promoter Mouse podcast.
Yeah, the year I was born. Tell you, that music, it does get you going, doesn't it?
It does.
When it starts, it's like anything you like. We're about to do it.
And all our listeners are in a really comfortable place when they hear that.
They go,
Yeah. Just remind people what that song is, because I know people are going, oh, what is that? It's an earworm.
Yeah, it's Change My Town by a band called Headful. But if you go on SoundCloud and search Paul David Dunn, you'll see a picture of a red Capri, and then you can play it from there.
Was that your Capri?
Was for a little while, yeah.
Oh, you had a Capri.
Yeah, above it. It was signed over to me for about a year and a bit.
Did you have like a sun visor screen across with Paul and Tracy or anything?
It was much cooler than that.
Okay.
Have a look on the SoundCloud, you'll see. Now that car probably worth about 40 grand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to know where it is.
People used to make fun of the old Capri back in the day, but it's a classic now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so much so, if I had a bit of money now, I'd not to splurge on a classic car, I would get one again.
You'd get a Capri?
Yeah, yeah. But only on the basis that they're not going to lose the value if you can still maintain it.
Yeah.
But be a good fun.
Wow, that was our motor mouths bit.
Yeah, yeah, we do that sometimes. That's because we're blokes.
Yeah. My dad had a Ford Cortina.
Yeah, I remember the Ford Cortinas, the Tin Corners.
What's that?
That's a nickname for Cortina, isn't it? A Tin Corner.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not that much of a gas head. Is that what they call it? Petrol head, not gas head.
Georgina, got a new Cortina. Oh, yeah. That's Mike Sweeney and the Thunderbirds. Remember that?
No.
No? All right.
Nice. I like that. Do you ever remember shit that you should have forgotten years ago?
Yeah. Like, and forget shit that you should remember, all the time, yeah.
Yeah, like I know my phone number from when I was a kid back in Bristol.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember that. And I also know the number plate of my dad's Ford Cortina.
Wow.
It was RMS868W.
And do you ever use it for, like, passwords and things like that?
Only on my bank, and...
What was your mother called again? What was her maiden name? And your first pet? What was your first pet?
They do try and get you on there, don't they? You know, they put posts up on Facebook where it would be like, oh, show us your dog, and it would go, oh, this is my dog or cat. Oh,
they'll do that thing, your porn star name, and like, name of your first dog and your mother's maiden name.
Yeah. Or people born in 1972.
Yeah.
And then they'll write something. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And then loads of people go, oh, I remember that. I was born. Yeah.
Yeah. You were born fucking yesterday.
Hey, Pablo, what have you been up to this week?
A little bit of comedy infrastructure building.
Very nice.
Yeah. I listened to a book that came about financial advice, and it was talking about building up assets, and I was thinking about it. Thought, I need to put some money back into the business.
Yeah.
So getting a website started up, and I had a video sorted anyway a few weeks back. And
how's that looking?
It's looking pretty top now. I've had pretty much the final cut sent to me. So Woodbridge looks pretty shit hot.
What are you doing to your website? Surprise.
It's just going to look a bit more professional, that's all. I don't see is it needing immediately doing, but this is the kind of thing, isn't it? You know, if people look you out, like supposing I'm applying for a sort of a decent act, then they look at my website and suddenly think it's too Bob.
Arthur Smith with a shitting dog behind him on your poster.
That's not going anywhere, Kay.
That's staying in.
That's staying in, yeah. Just is.
And let's move on to tapering.
Yes. Well, Sunday week, I'll be up at the crack of dawn running a marathon around Hamburg with Patreon Cy.
Oh, that's come around quick.
Yeah, it's a Sunday week. Yeah, it has.
Are you ready for it?
Don't know. But I never feel ready.
Yeah.
I never feel ready. Then I do it. Yeah, so I've got all that going on.
What does tapering mean?
So you run to a level where you're sort of building up your miles to about 40 odd a week. Then about 3 or 4 weeks out, you're lessening those out, your weekly mileage.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've built up the miles in your legs. You've got your strength, but now you just need to sort of recover a bit from the high end of the.
It's a technical running term, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's tapering, as in tapering off.
Right? Oh.
So tapering off, yeah. So I'm not really been doing much tapering, but recently, I mean, I did 2 10-miles on Sunday and Saturday last week.
Mm.
So that's quite a lot. I ought to have only done sort of 13 miles once, but I feel as though I should be still doing more. So I'm going to have to do a very quick taper. Because my legs are really, really heavy. It aches when I walk up the stairs. That's not good if you're about to run 26.2 miles.
Mm.
So I need to taper.
Taper.
Yeah. I know.
That's a term I've never come across.
You know, you're not runners out there will have heard it.
I've put.
You put more car fuckery.
Yeah.
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 The promoter match.
Now, we have 2 cars in the house.
Yeah.
Not in the house, obviously. Parked outside. That comes with its problems, doesn't it? When you've got two, when you've got daughter driving,
and
wife sharing a car as well, they drive the car, but when something goes wrong with it or sounds wrong with it, they don't really talk about it. They carry on driving.
Right. Until it's dangerous.
Well, until I get in it, I'm like, wow, really? What's going on with this freaking death trap?
Oh, it's just been making that funny noise again.
Yeah. So, well, it was a knocking sound. Now, we sort of knew it was there, but it got worse and worse. But got someone to look at it, and they said it's the wishbone. Do you know what the wishbone is?
Yeah, it's that bit of the chicken that you pull to get good
luck.
That's
right. Yeah. This wasn't good luck at all. This was the worst luck. It was like, it's called the steering control arm.
Right. A fundamental part of the chassis. It
connects the wheels to the underside of the car.
Yeah.
Right? And...
sounds expensive.
No, it's not. It's only about 40 quid for the bit. And then, a couple, an hour or so's work.
Oh, right.
So they say, looked online. Yeah, that's a piece of piss, that. There's 3 bolts. Knock it off. Pop it back in. And away you go. No.
Take it to the proper man.
Well, no, but this is the thing. He wouldn't have been able to do anything different. It took 2 bolts out. Great. And flying. 3rd bolt. Would it come out? Fucking hell, mate. I had to get a carbide blade cutter and cut it for an hour. My hands are numb from the vibrations. I'm fucking livid. Really, I've been so stressed about it. Because, when you start a job and you think, I can't take this to a mechanic now, he's going to say, what the fuck have you done?
Who the fuck's done this?
But anyway, I managed to fix it just before you came today.
Well done, Kai.
Got it out, got it in. My hands are shredded, but I've got man points.
Yeah.
You got any this week? Do I get them?
You can have them this week. Should we swing straight into hellfire and damnation? Get ourselves all motivated and angry.
Hellfire and damnation. In this section, we outline a scenario where we think someone or something should be thrown into the pits of hell.
Right. Yes, indeed. Thank you, DA.
So you want me to read that?
Well, you don't have to.
I can read it for you, but you just made it smaller.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. I'm an old man. So you've put Facebook deliberately ignoring scam messenger posts from fake users impersonating Meta. That's Facebook. How hard can it be to filter words like you have violated Facebook's terms of service or even just put messages from Meta Business? Yet if I put out a post calling Mark Zuckerberg a pusshole bitch boy, I go to fucking Facebook jail immediately. I've never been, actually. The reasons they don't is because these fake user accounts are created in tens of thousands, which boosts Meta's statistics. Worse still, for every stupid... that clicks on the fake link and pisses their password away, Facebook end up with tens of thousands of pounds in fraudulent ad revenue. They're as bad as the Chinese and Russian thieves that are behind it. At least give me a filter I can switch on. It's getting re-fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, you get them too. But I've had more than my fair share this week. 5 come all at once sometimes. Why can't they?
Have you got sponsored posts on?
Occasionally, yeah.
I think there might
be. Is it something to do with that?
I think there might be, yeah. I've got a few. I mean, sometimes I get about 5 or 6 in an hour. Yeah. I used to respond to them by saying Slava Ukraine. thinking that they were Russian bots, and they probably are.
I'll stick that to you. Do you think they cared? You felt better for it, though.
Yeah, I probably just... There's probably a call centre in St. Petersburg where they said, this one's just said Slava Ukraine. Right, let's all jump on him for the next hour.
But on our accounts, mate, we had, you know, on the promoter mouth and on mine, we had about 11 in a few hours the other day.
Yeah. It's crack, isn't it?
It is.
I used to report them. I've got fed up with
it. Meaningless, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not doing shag all about it. I'm with you, they should be doing. But I will say, this is a phenomenon that listeners who don't put on sponsored posts won't have seen. But it is a ridiculous...
How would you think it's sponsored posts?
Yeah, literally. I mean, you've only just noticed it, haven't you? So, you know.
Well, no, it has been going on for a long time, but particularly this month has been off the hook.
If you're spending a bit of bullying on sponsored posts, you tend to get a few.
Mm. Yeah, maybe that's it. Okay, well, there you go. Can that go in? Yeah, it's got to go in, hasn't it?
That can go in. Do you know what worries me about it? Like, the intention there is to take you down, right?
Mm.
What if they get clever enough to actually do that?
Yeah, something's going to come up somewhere along the line.
That's it. I mean, you built up something like over 1,000 followers locally or something. Mm. I forget. I've got over 1,000. I can't remember how many. It's rising all the time, but it's an important asset that because every time you post stuff, you sell tickets.
Well, the comedy store. London Comedy Store.
Oh, you're telling us on it.
Somebody took over their Facebook account.
Put porn on it.
No, they put fire extinguishers on it. It was a fire extinguisher site in Korea or somewhere like that, or Vietnam, somewhere.
And that, you told us around about the time they rocked up opposite the ocean room and I had the ump with them. So,
is it you, Pablo? Are you directing people there? Are you the mastermind behind this?
Am I making a sideline out of selling fire extinguishers? Yeah.
And they couldn't get it back anyway, and Facebook wouldn't give it back, and they ended up having to close it.
If I was making a sideline out of selling fire extinguishers, the comedy store would probably turn up next to me and start selling them as well.
Yeah, and start selling fire blankets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong. And you've put podcast co-hosts... without whom there would be no podcast.
No, you put
who
that.
Want
you
me
put,
to read out an essay.
You put that middle
what?
Bit.
What?
I didn't notice you wrote that. He should say, listeners, podcast co-host who want me to read out a fucking essay.
And you've put the delete just for me button on WhatsApp.
Yeah, what the fuck is that about? Like, if you're in a group, you accidentally post something, and you get the option to delete twice, but one of them is like, delete, leave your offensive comment there that you accidentally posted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't see it anymore. Yeah. And not only that, once you can't see it, you can't do anything about it.
I've accidentally done that a few times.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, shit. Now I'm going to forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. You think, oh, fuck it, it's just hanging there, and I can't do anything.
What offensive thing did you write?
Well, supposing if you send something to somebody you didn't mean to and you want to take it off or something like that.
No, they're the only ones that have got it. I'm just going to leave that there. No, I don't even want to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is a stupid option.
Well, somebody posted something to me before and I responded with ha, 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 ha. And then I hit send and it was on yours. I thought, oh, fucking hell, that makes me look mental. And I did consider leaving it there. that'll fuck with his brain. And I thought, oh, I'll just delete it. And then I nearly hit the delete just for me. But what I did was, I deleted it, right? I copied and pasted because I didn't want to type out ha, 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 all again. Copied it, right? Then deleted it and then pasted it again, but pasted it again in yours.
Oh, is that why there were a couple of...
deleted posts, yeah.
I thought I'd... Because I'm always deleting stuff.
You do that a lot.
Yeah, but it's usually because I'm like, oh, hang on, that's wrong, or same sort of thing, send it to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And sometimes they flash up on your watch, and it looks like you haven't seen them, and I go, oh, yeah, I'll delete that, but you have.
Yeah, the watch tells you sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be a blessing as much as a curse.
Right. So that was a technical one.
I tell you what, though, there'll be people listening to this going, yeah, why is there that button? I mean, what purposes does it serve?
Yeah, what does it serve?
If you posted something and you don't want to see what you posted, that's not right, is it?
Is it? Yeah. Who? So if, let's just say, yeah, you know these sting operations where you get the older hunters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, if they download your WhatsApp kind of back catalogue of messages, they won't be on there?
Oh, so it's enabling paedophiles is what you're saying?
Yeah. WhatsApp so is enabling paedophiles. So why are you deleting just for you, Pablo?
Well, I'm not.
Does it delete it?
You thought that for you thought, ah, well,
but if the police...
This could be a good use of that.
Well, no, but if the police did that, yeah. Do you think so?
They always say, don't they, on these police programmes, when you don't watch telly, do you? But there's a programme on this week about electronic forensics, and they always say, well, they think they're deleting everything, but it just takes us a bit longer, but we get everything on there anyway.
Mm.
And then they get it, so...
Yeah.
Well, so be careful, Kai. If you're grooming somebody...
Yeah, which, you've got some top tips, have you, Pablo? Go on. I put Joe Lycett, and you put is a needy attention-seeking cock. Now, I was going to say, hey, it's quite funny what he's doing. He's been putting loads of like spoof news articles out and not telling people that they're not true.
Yeah,
loads of stuff like Banksy's turning up in places and things like that. And you're not into that kind of prankery.
I don't mind it.
I like Joe Lycett.
Yeah, you do, don't you? I don't know. I'm on the fence.
No, he's a needy, like attention-seeking cock.
I reckon he'd admit he is. Yeah, I don't think I've forgiven him for slagging off the World Cup, and then it transpired he did a corporate in the same country he was slagging off.
Are you still holding that against him?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm having that, and. He was on Lad Bible doing the honesty questions. You can see it now. If you've got a Lad Bible, I think it was only uploaded yesterday, and I watched through it, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I just don't know. And you can sort of tell that he's trying to work out whether or not he ought to be really woke or not. And I get the impression that he'll just spin on a sixpence on whatever makes his career better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which in itself isn't massive crime.
You've got to go with the flow, haven't you?
But the fact that I can sense it, you know what I mean? I might be wrong. Well, you know what? I mean, he changed his name to Hugo Boss.
He did.
Got a load of publicity
that was good.
For it.
Yeah, that's the sort of way to use social media.
Yeah, and that thing about, what was he doing with David Beckham as well? Like, he did... A lot of his stunts draw an awful lot of attention to himself, and you kind of, inwardly, you do a bit of an eye roll.
Didn't he do a whole kind of hour or more show where he was just reading stuff, letters that he'd written to companies and complaint letters?
Yeah, like he's like...
Chains, it's just like reading out Facebook.
He's a one-man that's life, isn't he?
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah, leave that to Esther, mate.
And then they replied, and then I said this, and then...
He's quite clever with some of that, and he is a bit of a chuckle.
Yeah, I do think he's good.
Yeah.
A refreshing...
Why are you saying he's good, then? You just want to big him up?
Well, no, I just quite liked what he did. He'd been putting out press articles, press releases and news articles to newspapers all over the country and websites. And some of them have been getting picked up and going global.
So just press notices from anybody?
No, they're things he's made up. So things that have happened, like there's a Banksy turned up in Loddon, for example.
Yeah, but when he's doing the press notice, does he say, I'm Joe Lycett?
No,
he's making up a name.
He's putting it out there like it's a real newsworthy item.
So sending it as a press notice and the press are picking it up.
It would be like me sending something to Bruno that's made up. And him going, oh, that's a good story, and putting it in. And then the National's picking it up. And then the International's picking it up. And that's been happening. I think that's clever. I do like that.
It's mischievous, which is what he is, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe I'm getting a little bit old.
No. Well, you are.
I kind of, when he does this type of thing, I'm sort of teetering on thinking, yeah, that's quite clever too. Sometimes I just think, oh, really, again?
I just like the idea that there's loads of shit going on in the world, and occasionally there are these little sparkles of nonsense.
You do need a diversion, don't you?
That people follow and comment on and go nuts about.
If I'm being honest, I put, is a needy attention-seeking cock.
You're taking it back.
Because it made me laugh. But, yeah, now I'm doubling down on it a little bit because I wrote it down.
Okay.
So, you know.
Shall we take it back, Pablo?
I'm indifferent.
I don't think he is. I think he's a...
Oh, I think he is, but I think there's a nicer way of saying that he is.
You've put law and disorder.
Yes. You were telling me about our... Can we call him a friend of the podcast? I think we can, can't we? His voice is on it.
Who? Oh, Tony Law.
Tony Law, yes. And...
What, Rich Wilson?
Rich Wilson, that's it.
Podcast.
Yeah, the podcast that they've done. So I had to listen to it. It was very listenable. And it was... I think he sort of excelled a little bit, you know what I mean? He's like, how to get Tony at his best on a podcast. And I thought Rich made a very good foil. And Rich is quite an outgoing person himself.
Yeah.
And he seemed to know exactly when to sort of let Tony fly and not make him fly. And I thought it was a really, really good pod.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.
It's now time for comedy rumors / shithousery.
I saw a post
that
was asking for comedians who were 30 or under.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Or looked 30 or under.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering... Are we allowed as promoters to do that? I'm not saying it's wrong, because obviously they want that. That's the brief or whatever. But isn't that... And I think it was another comedian from Oop North said ageism, or is it a thing? Now, do you think ageism exists in comedy? And are we allowed to book acts and overlook others because of their age?
Inevitably. It does exist. Well, I tell you what, I've learnt in my short career, if you can call it that, as a comedy promoter, that I think there is a sweet spot for booking acts who were pretty big in the 90s and noughties. Still big now, but not as big as they were, but will play the size venues that I'm now booking.
Yes.
And the audience who have money to come out and watch them will pay good money to see these acts and want to see them, and to them they're still massively famous. Whereas if I try to get somebody who was less than 30 in, which I do try to, and they come and have a great time because, you know, we're dealing with decent professionals here, but they don't necessarily know who the acts are. I mean, Fraser came to my stepson came to see the last one I put on with Sean Walsh. And he saw Saul Bernstein.
Yes.
Who's like really old. Well, you know, the oldest Jewish comedian on the circuit, right?
In the world.
Gavin Webster, right?
That's quite a contrast.
Gavin's about our age. I tell you what. Brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. There's some videos of Gavin doing the rounds on YouTube. They don't do him any justice whatsoever. He's fantastic, honestly, he really is.
Yeah.
I mean, he won that award for the Comedian's Comedian Award, or whatever it's called. Zoe Lyons and Mick Ferry won it, and one or two others. But he got it a couple of years back, and that caught my eye. And when I had a chance of booking him, I thought, you know, I'm going to do it. But I've not actually seen him, but I'm going to do it. And
it was worth
a punt. Honestly, okay. He was really, really good. People sort of saying to me, "Oh, no, you know, really enjoyed that guy most." You know,
yeah.
But having said that, I think that on that night I had people saying that about every one of the acts.
That's lovely when that happens.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, digress. My stepson, not used to go to comedy nights, and he helped me out to be an usher. He'd seen Sean Walsh on the telly, and that was about the only thing he'd seen, but the rest of it, he absolutely loved Saul Bernstein.
Yes.
And he was going on, he was still chuckling. Because the bit that got to him was when Saul Bernstein's he's sort of marching up and down the stage. And then he looks down, points at a woman and goes, "Nice tits!" And then just walks off. Yeah, it's brilliant. But there's a whole group of comedians under 30 that are big on TikTok and all of these bloody things, which you and I probably not wholly aware of. And if we still want to be doing this in 20 years' time, we're going to have to be aware, right?
That is, I've been thinking that. And back in the day when I started out, the acts I'm booking now were of that age.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they're sort of my age and above. But you are right. You know, if I listed all of my headliners over the last few years,
yeah,
I expect they've got an average age which is above 40.
Yeah, exactly.
Easily.
Do you know, I had a spell of getting acts turn up to Southwold and realising they are exactly the same age as me. It's just a weird thing. Like, because they'd talk about it in the sets and they'd say afterwards, "Are you 53? And I'd go, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Yeah, literally loads of them are 53 for some reason.
But there are some promoters who actively book much younger up and coming acts, and I didn't get introduced to the younger acts of today, let's say, until I was working in London with Phil on the Cray Cray, and that's when I started seeing acts that I'm thinking these guys are brilliant, but they just wouldn't come and do my gig. They don't need to.
Yeah,
you know, there's a whole different circuit that they work. It feels
It is a bit like that, isn't it? I mean, before a lot of that were booking, there was another circuit, wasn't there? I'd say there was the beginnings of the alternative thing. A lot of them went really big, didn't they? And Dawn French and all the guys on the young ones. Some of them not.
Lexi Sale as well.
Yeah, all of them. So a lot of that crowd. Even before then, though, that they were a sort of backlash to your Jimmy Tarbucks and Bob Monkhouse.
That was the alternative scene, wasn't it?
You don't think it was the alternative scene, as it was called when it first came out in the sort of late 80s. Do you not think it was a bit weird that most of them were sort of Oxbridge and Cambridge? You know what I mean? Considering it was supposed to be a rebellion.
Well, it was a rebellion against the working men's clubs as well, wasn't it? The sort of ingrained racism and kind of filth that was coming out of that. And I suppose they weren't welcome in those places. They needed a platform.
Yeah, so they sort of rocked up at
We're not having you in here, posh boy. They probably tried it.
There
must have been somebody out there, a pioneer, who tried the working men's clubs and just got roasted every time.
I reckon Frank Skinner must have done it and done all right.
Maybe,
I heard somewhere that he did, because he's standing on his 2 feet, can't he?
Yeah.
Old Frank Skinner. And he's a bit filthy as well.
But it was more a movement, wasn't it, than it was just a person setting up a thing and going, "Let's do it."
Well, I'll tell you who's doing the rounds now on the podcast. Old Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
He's done Diary of a CEO.
I saw him back on that one.
And Trigonometry in the same week. So I'm going to have to catch up and listen to them. He has a lot to say, old Jimmy Carr.
And he started with Joe Rogan a while back, didn't he? There's one.
He's been on there as well, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. He's quite a clever, insightful guy. I don't quite know how much of what he says I completely buy into. But if you read his book that was out?
No.
I don't know. Thinking he might have another book out, because hence all the podcasts. I haven't quite got to the bottom of that yet. But his book was good. It was more of a self-help book than a bloody biography. So it's definitely worth a listen.
Nice.
I recommend it.
Is there a book in you?
Yeah, there is.
What would it be about?
I wrote a screenplay, didn't I? Well.
That's different, isn't it?
Different. Well, yeah. I've always fancied writing a book. A little bit along the lines of Charles Bukowski, who had a character called Henry Chinaski that he wrote books. It's basically in the first person, but he wrote about his own lifestyle, but embellished it and made up stories. And I'd quite like to do that. My sort of tribute to Charles Bukowski, but do it in, you know, instead of being sort of the grimy parts of America in the sort of 60s, 70s, and the 80s, which all his books were based in.
Where would it be based?
Well, I'd based it in Manchester, London, and here. But most of the sort of interesting things happen to me that, you know, they happen when they're younger, don't they? You know what I mean?
Well, you say that. I think, we've got quite interesting lives.
Yes, well, doing the promoting is... You meet some interesting people, don't you, when you do the comedy promoting, and that's for sure.
That's one of the things I love about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, the thing is with that, though, the thing is with the promoting, you have to be careful not to live your life by proxy through, like, other people. I think there's a temptation to vicariously live on the back of somebody else's fame and talent by being a promoter. It's essentially what you're doing anyway by booking them, because you're monetizing what they have to offer. But if you're doing it to up your status because you're booking somebody who's famous and got their own gravitas and you want that to be your gravitas, I'd say that's a road to ruin.
Could be, yeah.
I think you've got to sort yourself out before you get to that. Be happy in yourself that you're doing all right.
But there are some
before you do that to prop yourself up. Does that make sense?
There are some promoters out there that do that.
It can be tempting to book somebody a big name, and you know, not just because it's intoxicating. If the reason you're doing it is to elevate your status, then that's probably there's something else you got to get right before you get to that point.
Why do you do it?
It was a creeping mission for me. Started off doing it. Well, you start off doing it because you want it to be a spot, and then you realise you don't want to travel all over the place, and then you put a night on, and you get a real buzz out of it. And then you end up doing more and more. And then, I mean, for me, I went through a long, long period of thinking I'm going to jack this in, and just at the point of jacking it in, and have a blind of a gig and have a few quid in my pocket and thinking, Jesus, when it goes well, it's good fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I had enough of them just to keep me in. And, And then, you know, making a chunk of change out of one or two of them does make you think, perhaps I shouldn't be so hasty about jacking it in.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking, well, actually, if I'm treating it as a business... you know, every now and then you'll come a cropper, don't you? But, yeah, the more you do, the luckier you get, because you keep your hand in and you do all right.
I think there's more risk involved the higher up you go, isn't there?
It's a complete house of cards. I mean, when I first started, I booked about four venues. I thought, this is going to be easy. And I booked four venues. I'm thinking, I'm just going to, just do that again. Do it four, I did the maths and you did a load of venues. And before you know where you are, you're dealing with a bell end at a venue. You didn't think you were, but then suddenly you are. They're not keeping their end of the bargain. And then you realise the lovely theatre in a town that nobody lives in, but it's a lovely theatre, and you think, okay, won't do that again. But, you know, you just go through it all. You've got to be persistent if you want to do anything out of it. It's like anything, isn't it? Somebody said to me once that... You don't need a degree in persistence, but if you got it, persistence, it's more potent than any degree. And that really stuck with me, that.
I think you've got to be brave as well. I think if you're going to stick at it, I think you can't worry about stuff too much. You can overthink it sometimes, but I think you've got to, I think fortune favours the brave.
Yeah.
But I think if you have a decent reputation as a promoter, I think it can be a much easier run, potentially. And I think you've built up some good relationships.
Yeah. You have to build up the relationships. But, you know, it's easy just to sort of throw your toys out of the pram if you're not getting treated well, you know. I'm lucky I've got a day job I really enjoy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's sort of, you know, doesn't pay too badly as well. So the risks that I'm taking with it don't seem quite so big if you're getting an all right.
Yeah, I've got a day job I think is a bit shit, so... That's all right.
Yeah.
You know, there's an incentive to step beyond that,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
There you go.
It's very interesting.
That was an interesting chat.
It was. Yeah. It started out with ageism.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go. Oh, yeah. Thanks. If you're still listening, listeners, thanks for that.
The Promoter Mouths Podcast with Kai Pablo.
Barking like a twat in Loddon and Shedgrave. In brackets, the local bit.
You've put shite shed shenanigans.
How do you like that for an alliteration?
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so we've got a beautiful church in the village called Trinity Church, and I'm walking along there with a dog, and I see a shite shed. It quite literally is a shite shed, but I didn't notice at the time. It's a beautiful Grade 1 listed building, right? Take a picture of it from any angle. Looks like a postcard. Beautiful. It's probably the most beautiful thing in the village. And it really is something to behold. And every time I see it, I go, wow, that's it.
So what's the shite shed?
Well, they've put a shed right next to it. So if you take a picture of it from a certain angle now, you've got a shed there. And I thought, this is criminal. In my day job, I look after a Grade 2 listed estate in Tunbridge Wells, right? I play a part in that. When they say look after it, I sort of... There's a team of people who look after it, and I am one of those members of the team, but I'm sort of main point of contact for a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. And if we put something like a shite shed in the middle of this Grade 2 listed estate, we'd have the civic society, all the tenants, and the listed buildings officer, and the planners... They'll all be on our case. There'd be Facebook posts. There'd be absolutely merry hell being raised. Because I know tenants have put some stuff up, like rogue tenants.
Well, and, I've seen a few churches with sheds outside. They have them to for the gardener and things like that.
They've got big grounds. And if they put the shed on the other side, not on the church. Here's the thing, right? If you're seeking planning permission... to build something, the first thing your planning consultant will do is have a look where the nearest church is, because if you block the sight lines to a church, that is a big no-no in planning, right? You've got to get around that. You've got to have a bloody good reason to do it, otherwise you ain't getting planning. Yet, if you put a fucking shed bang next to a church, apparently that's all right.
Oh.
And that's what they've got. Anyway, I wrote to the church. And I thought I'd ask them. I was a bit sort of narky because I do like looking at it. I genuinely like looking at it. I thought, why have they put a fucking shed there? So I went on a website and said, excuse me, hope you don't mind me asking, but why have you got a nasty looking shed right next to your Grade 1 listed building? God bless him, the vicar wrote back to me. He did. And he said,
do it in a vicar's voice, because...
Yeah, well...
Paul, thank you for writing to me.
It read like that. It really did read like that. Yeah.
It's a shit house.
And that's pretty much what you said. Yeah, you did say that, yeah. Yeah, he said basically, because inside the church, it costs a lot of money to get round listed building stuff to be able to put a toilet in there, because they used to have a toilet that was accessible. They turned it into a deli across the road.
The dirty deli,
yeah. Right? So because the dirty deli is now, used to be the toilets and now isn't, some of the elder parishioners need to go to the toilet. So they built a compostable toilet in this shed.
Holy shit house.
Exactly that. Yeah. So whilst they're sorting themselves out, so it turns out it's probably going to be temporary. But I did feel a bit of a, and I felt a bit of a prat lying it. But I thought, do you know what? Somebody else is going to complain. I thought I could say to them, I could get my ass out on Facebook. I thought, I'm not doing that. I could do. I'd get loads of conversation going, wouldn't I? If I posted a picture of this shed, there's a fucking state of this.
Yeah,
so I could have created a shitstorm on Facebook. But I thought, you know what, I'll just ask him straight out. And he gave me a reasonable answer.
And you were pleased with that?
Well, I said to him, look, you might have a bit of bother from the conservation officer. Heads up, because in what I do, I probably would get it. He said, no, we cleared it with him. Thank you very much.
Okay.
He wrote it in a vicar's voice. But yeah, he probably thought, wanker.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell us what to do?
Yeah.
But I kind of think church is like communal property, aren't they? I know they belong to the Church of England, who, by the way, is the biggest property owner probably in the world. That's a fact.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They know what they're doing. They've got a lot of property.
Oh, all the churches.
Yeah.
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 That's some good real estate there.
Behind McDonald's.
Yeah. Shall we move this one on? Well, I don't think it's great that they've put a shed out there, but I might go and take a shit in it just to see what it's like.
I imagine it's pretty smelly. Compostable toilet. How's that work?
I hope nobody's buried underneath it.
No. Oh.
You've put the Russians are already here.
Yeah.
Where? In Loddon?
Great Yarmouth, actually.
Ooh.
There's a comedy night in Great Yarmouth in Russian. I sent it to you, didn't I?
You did. What is a Russian?
I got it translated. I clicked on the thing, right, on the Facebook post, and it says this, right, and this is translated from Russian into English. Hello, dear friends, exclamation mark. Stand Up Prihod is a team of young comedians who joke in Russian. Our event is fun, prize draws, a break from bad news, and a bright show of humour without boundaries or prejudices. The evening will no longer be languid. P.S. If you want to perform for the first time or test your monologue, we can provide you with the opportunity. Attention! It will be possible to buy tickets at the entrance only with cash, possibly more expensive.
Cash only?
Yeah. So that's the stand-up show and after party by event by unfathomable Russian letters in Great Yarmouth. That's an odd thing, isn't it?
It's a very niche.
I didn't realise there were Russians in Great Yarmouth.
Well, there can't be...
Can't be that many.
You know, if I was putting a comedy night on, and let's say they're going to get, let's say there were 30 chairs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure every Russian in Yarmouth's going to turn up to see it.
Might though.
It's very niche.
See, I didn't think there were that many Russians in Yarmouth, but for them to be, there's a sponsored poster. I keep seeing it.
I don't get that. I don't know any Russians.
No. I was tempted to go with my son because my son speaks a bit of Russian.
He does, yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. So I may go along.
He should go up and do some jokes.
Yeah. Slava Ukraini. Well, he speaks Russian, but he doesn't sound Russian. He sounds like he's speaking backwards, which is slightly different. Anyway, that's my local bit.
So Russian comedy night.
In Yarmouth, yeah.
Well, if it catches on, you... let's move on. Oh, Raj update.
Go on.
He got raided again.
Really?
I went in for a takeaway on the Saturday, I think it was. Last Friday, he said it's 6:30, immigration, council turned up, bust in. They had a few customers in. They had their bring-your-own bottles of wine because you can't serve alcohol. Somebody had tipped off the authorities that he's selling alcohol. And he isn't. There's no alcohol in the building. Wonder who that could be.
I don't know. I don't know who that would be.
Opinion
P-Dodie. And did he?
I don't know. Did he? Probably did.
Probably did.
They were all doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen this?
I've had a little bit of a look. He's been charged with a load of nonsense, isn't he?
That, yeah.
Yeah. That. And did he? I don't know. Probably.
It seems to be that he was, rumour has it, that he is not all he's cracked up to be as a womanising rap artist.
In what way?
Well, there were rumours going around that he likes men too.
Oh,
see. And that's what he's been trying to shut being people down. Yeah.
Do you know, when you see these videos, I don't think it's popular now, but you see these young rappers in the videos with sort of big fur coats on, surrounded by scantily clad ladies, and he's calling them all bitches, and he's waving around his jewellery. You're kind of thinking, what are you trying to hide?
What are you hiding?
Yeah. And this level of disrespect, I ain't right either. Mm. You know what I mean? So who would have thought it, eh?
Yeah.
When people saw that, going, what's going on here? Yeah. Well, there you go. We come full circle,
and,
don't we?
And they're saying that next in line is Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, he's English, isn't he, Jay-Z?
I don't think so.
Isn't he? Oh, no, he's... Yeah.
No, he's not English. You're thinking of JK, of Jamiroquai.
No, not him.
No. Yeah. No, Jay-Z. Married to Beyonce.
Oh, yeah, the guy... what was his song? Empire...
Yeah.
Something or other.
State of Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying that he's also next up.
Really?
They're coming to get him.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't say what they're coming to get him for.
Who's they?
They.
Yeah.
The authorities. The internet.
You've scrolled on some speculation and decided to report it as fact.
Well, it's not fact, but certainly P. Dodie.
Yeah.
Is going down, isn't he?
Yeah. Fortunate name for P, though, isn't it, P. Dodie? I mean, P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
I mean, it's got peed in it.
Yeah.
He's, yeah. That's definitely...
Peed, yeah.
Yeah, P. Diddy.
Oh, now it's, yeah.
P. Diddy.
Didn't he change his name after that to Diddy?
I was like, Ken Todd. Diddy fuck.
A prisoner who died and got brought back to life.
Yeah.
Is arguing that his life sentence should be ended. Oh.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's blackguard, isn't he? Because his heart stopped beating for a few seconds. He said he'd served his life sentence because he actually died.
Technically.
Technically, yeah. But it got told to fuck right off, didn't he? Get back in there, you dick. What did he do, though? What did he actually do?
Well, and look at him.
I mean, he can't have been a nice fella if you've got life, right?
That's true.
So,
but
he either killed somebody or...
His life was over.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't, was it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck off, granddad.
Yeah.
You're going to die in prison. Right.
Again.
Again. Yeah. Fantastic. Now, any gigs to plug? I've got loads all over, and www.shaftofwit.com for details.
April the 26th, please. Come and support the Lord Kitchener's Memorial Holiday Home Centre. I keep forgetting what they're actually called, but it's a lovely charity that provides holiday respite to the ex-forces.
Very good cause.
Yeah, it is a very good cause. And yeah.
You've got a TBC on there still. Have you booked your final act?
I have booked my final act.
Who have you got?
Just not got around to changing the TBC.
Who is it?
Masai Graham.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see him.
Yeah. 31st of May, Paul Sinha at both Southwold Arts Centre and Sector Theatre Woodbridge. Cracking all-star lineup. So that's 20th of September, Simon Evans.
That's going to be good.
Will be good, yeah.
Yeah.
Some really encouraging responses on social so far.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's end the podcast there, Pablo.
Enjoyed that. That was good, that was.
Yeah. I think we did all right.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners, Patreons, and see you next time.
Bye.
Support Kai and Pablo by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/promotermouths.